Well, but you don't have any written report this time. I just have a few things I wanted to bring everyone up to date on. First of all, we were going to be meeting in the Coachella Valley yesterday and today, and when the executive committee met to just talk about that, Carl just triggered the idea that maybe it would be a good time to bring people other than this commission together in Delano, because there were a lot of things happening and a lot of confusion about what was happening, and a lot of feeling that maybe it was all over now, and also he felt that that the continuing struggle would be with the Delano grape growers, and that therefore symbolically we should gather religious leaders in Delano rather than in Coachella. And I want to thank him for that. I have already personally, but I think we're all in his stead, and the rest of the executive committee responded to that idea, and that's why we had yesterday's meeting. But it's an example of the way in which we kind of feed each other. I have a great tendency, propensity even, to not to be lazy about creative strategy in regard to the church. And that kind of push was extremely helpful to us, and I think made yesterday's meeting possible. And our fond hope is that much of the religious press will cover yesterday's meeting. We prepared a press release, and it was sent out last night, along with a copy of the all the growers who have signed, and along with a copy of a picture of the union label. And the Religious News Service assigned someone to cover yesterday's meeting, and is going to, and that person is going to telegraph a story in tomorrow, partly based on our press release, partly based on the fact that he was there. Jerry Sherry of the Central California Register had that assignment. And Mark Day is going to try and get pictures into the Religious News Service, because they have said that they could really use pictures very well. Our hope being that that parts of the religious press that would find it too controversial to write articles about the movement would be willing to write an article about a meeting. And so, but of course, in writing about the meeting, telling about the contents of, you know, of the meeting, so. Some of you are in a position to help push that along, and I think we should all try to see to it that yesterday's meeting ends up being an educational process for lots of people out there who are wondering what they should do about union grapes and non-union grapes and things like that.
Is that press release available?
Yeah, I think we have some copies. There are copies on the back table, sir? Good. We had estimated that maybe there would be 100 to 150 people there, and there was well over 200, and I'm sure that half, if not probably more than half, were from the Roman Catholic community. I hope we have a chance to follow up on some of the ideas that came out of yesterday's meeting. Because I think some of them are very worth going ahead on. Now, in terms of staff and where they are, Jim is not in California and hasn't been for some time. He is, at Caesar's request, he just went to New Jersey. And recently, Suzanne and the two children followed. And they're living in Jersey City. And he has the modest responsibility of stopping the grapes in the state of New Jersey, and has been working on that and recruiting a lot of church support in that, and has also recruited an Episcopal priest to work full-time with him, a rather famous and in some areas notorious Episcopal priest by the name of Father Robert Castle, who has worked in the black community for most of his life and who is now working with Jim and will be working with Jim and is being supported by us with all the money that we've been taking in and spending. And Jim is going to help raise some of that funds from church people back there. Some of you met Jerry and Jane Brown. Jane Brown, you'll remember, she's spoken to a couple of our meetings and about the boycott. And she and her husband are now in Toronto working on the boycott. And they had been supported by a grant, an educational grant. And the grant ran out, and the Unitarians were going to be supporting them, but it hadn't quite. So in the interim, you have the honor, we have the honor, of keeping the Browns alive on subsistence, as all of our worker priests are kept alive. Wimp is writing a book, or putting a book together. Maybe you tell him about it.
At this moment?
At this moment.
Being a Methodist by background, which means I'm part pack rat, because they have so many reports and things to go to. When things busted loose here in 1964, I just started a file called Farm Workers, and it moved from a folder to a garage in a very short period. And most of it having to do with the church's response, essays and articles and whatnot. Someday, hopefully, to put it together in some kind of a witness regard. Some of you have seen the farm worker calendar that was put out this year, a very beautiful calendar. It was put out by produced by Father John Banks, who is a priest in Ohio, whose bishop has released him to be the boycott director for the state of Ohio. And John put that together. John came out here about 3 months ago to look over things, and he wanted to do a book on the church and the farm workers. And he wanted to find someone in the valley that might know something about that, so they sent him up to talk to me, and we met for lunch in Fresno, and he began to pump me, and I wouldn't get pumped, and I tried to pump him, and he wouldn't get pumped. It was obvious we were playing with each other, and so we finally said, what the hell are we doing? Let's write it together. So we did, and we spent some weeks at it. And we put together all the documents we could find, beginning with California Migrant Ministry newsletters, which is where we first began to hear about these things, before we physically began to see it. And from 1964 on up to the present day, a chronology of the things that have happened in the Roman Catholic and the Protestant and the Jewish community in regards to resolutions and essays and statements and things that have happened, which would not only just give a study book, which would be useful, hopefully, to denominations, but will also show by the content a history of the farm worker movement, the issues, the pesticides and the braceros and the poor housing and all the rest of it. And that's all been included in the book. It's 380 pages right now. It's in the publisher's hand, which is Association Press, except for one essay. The final essay was written by Chris Hartmeyer. I got it Thursday, and I mailed it that night. A third of it deals with the migrant ministry, because that's been a significant witness, I think, in the valley. Sister Mary Carita is doing the cover. Bob Fitch and George Ballas have each contributed 75 photos, out of which we've chosen 40 to be in it. Harper's has already turned it down. Association is our next one, and they're more hopeful. And if it is published, it will be, I hope, a very great use for denominations. We still need to have some interpretation, but also for some historical documents of the church developing its own witness and its own gospel. And I'm very pleased to be a part of it. Pardon me? Father John Banks. B-A-N-K.
What's the title of the book?
The Church and La Causa. C-H-U-R-C-H. I'm sorry.
White people look alike.
That was a master's thesis, which I completed Friday and handed in. And Random House is going to look at that this summer, and hopefully that will come across.
I think that, too.
Yeah. Most of the writing that has come out in the farm worker movement has been in two levels. It's propaganda or it's labor history, both of which are useful to the movement. But the ideology and the theology of Cesar Chavez, who is the catalyst behind the movement, has got to come out somewhere. And that's hopefully what this one will do.
Is that the title?
No, the title is the Rhetoric of Cesar Chavez, which deals with that specifically, nonviolence, and which is a chronology of the things that have happened in the last 5 years.
Thank you.
Thanks for the plug.
By the way, some of you know and some of you don't know that Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan is the repository for all the files of the United Farm Workers Organizing Committee, and a few years ago, Wayne State asked if we would put California Migrant Ministry materials into that same archive, and so our files and papers go there too, and if anyone gets to Detroit. But it has another advantage. Apparently, you know, we've never used it, but you can write or call Phil Mason. We could, from our office, write and call Phil Mason and ask him for a certain letter or a certain resolution or a certain something. And they promised 2-day delivery on anything, any document in those files. So, and if we expressed urgency about it, he would send it the same day. I don't know how that can possibly be done, but some people know how to file better than other people. Most file. So they do it. And supposedly we're going to get a list of all our materials that are there. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't know what I'd do with it once I saw it, but we're supposed to have that. We've had some rather fast, well, we haven't, but the union has had some rather fascinating conversations with Pentecostal preachers in this valley, Mexican-American Pentecostal ministers, who want to be helpful to the farm workers' struggle as Pentecostal ministers. One of their number had already been active and talked up the union and had been sort of a membership chairman for his area, and many of these guys are, of course, farm workers and ministers. Some of them are all, you know, full-time ministers, but they feel very strongly about what Cesar and the farm workers are doing. But this one guy who was active had taken away from him his accreditation card, and apparently, if you're a Pentecostal preacher, you need a card that says, you know, this guy represents our Pentecostal denomination or group, and he's for real, and you can work with him and give him collections and things like that. It's kind of like a organizer for the farm workers union. When he goes out and begins to organize people and collect dues, they want to know who he is and whether he really is a representative of Chavez. And so he has to have a little UFOC organizer's card. And these Pentecostal ministers have to have that kind of an accreditation card. And without it, they're dead. So they've been talking about how they could be useful and not lose that card, or if they did lose it, whether or not there was some other body that might provide one for them. And preferably a body that didn't sound too mainline Protestant. Like, you know, Methodist, Presbyterian, they didn't dig that too much. They didn't think it would go over with their people. So Cesar and I talked about it, and I threw out some possible names to him, and the one name I threw out was the Disciples of Christ. And he just lit up, you know, that was just right. Exactly what was needed. And so I'm sure there have been movements inside that denomination to change the name, so just be glad you didn't. But anyway, we were supposed to be having conversations this weekend. They didn't come off, mainly because the guy here who was responsible didn't follow through. But anyway, There are going to be conversations, hopefully, between these Pentecostal preachers and representatives of the Disciples of Christ to see if some relationship can be established. And in the process, we're going to learn a lot about Pentecostal churches and how they feel about things, and something that we have been too stupid and arrogant to know. We are going to have a summer program this year. In fact, the young people will be coming to Los Angeles for training on the 15th of June. And again, it's a fairly diverse group of people, geographically, racially, denominationally. There are only, at this moment, I guess we have 11. And they will be, some of them will be working here in the school with Gordon. Gordon's going to come to lunch, by the way. Those of you who have met Gordon Williamson before, with hopes to be over here for lunch. And some, one will be working in Lamont. And most of the rest will be working where the Farm Workers Union wants them. And that will be some in Los Angeles and some in other places. But we look forward to another busy summer with more people. By the way, in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles boycott is trying to recruit 40, 50, 60 full-time people for the summer. The goal is to have one person, one full-time person, for every chain store of one of the major chains to bring about the first breakthrough with chains in Los Angeles. I wanted to talk, and I haven't done it. I want to talk with a church from the United in Northern California, but Blanche just said something that discouraged me. But Gordon, well, you'll know what I mean. Gordon Williamson needs a van here for the school, and because he's just transporting kids around, and he takes them to Los Angeles for the Synanon for their dental work, and the sedan that he has, that we give him, is just not adequate for the kind of work he does with young people and with children. And so I was kind of thinking of promoting with the Northern California Churchwomen United the idea of blue chip stamps for a van. And since the Churchwomen United in Southern California provided so many cars with so many blue chip stamps, I thought maybe you guys could take on one van for Northern California.
Well, I think they'd be willing to try this. Of course, we don't. So far, we've only done a half, but we don't compare with Southern California membership groups or anything, the ability for it. But I am the interest in the group that's down in Southern California has changed, and every once in a while, I still get some coming in. So I think we'd be willing, but I can't. I'll get back
to you later. We saw, and I'm sure we can really work at it. Okay. Some of us have been sending them down to Maine, and I've got some of them I came down yesterday, you know, for this particular fall. But I just can't tell them. Would you carry the idea back, though, Blanche, to Mrs. Burns and others and see how they feel about it? I know that the farm workers are collecting blue chip stamps, and many of you are sending blue chip stamps here to Delano. But I don't think too many of the Churchwomen United in Northern California are sending blue chip stamps to UFLOC. So I don't think that we are going to end up being competitive with what the farm workers are doing. I think we're just going to be supplementing what they're doing by reaching an entirely different group. So okay. If there are other groups who would like to take this on, don't feel shy, because maybe a couple working together, we can do it. Now, the other thing is, Gordon's, you know, Chevy, too, is going to collapse anyway sometime, and we're going to have to deal with that problem. So if we had books for half of a van, we could put that together with some money and get a car. So So it isn't necessarily...
Tell me again, Chris, exactly what this particular car was. I mean, this is a personal thing.
Right. Well, it would be a van for the school here in Delano, for Gordon Williamson's educational program. And he would be using it strictly in that school. And it would be for transporting children to and from the school, to recreation, to dental care, etc. And it's needed because it holds, that just more kids can get in. Oh, I'm thinking of one of those small, Chevy or buses.
Well,
yeah. Legally.
Chris, can I say something about the school? We were very much interested in it and about Gordon and his wife. We came from New York, I believe, to try to give you an experience of what we used to call resident education. So we got out of the way of it. However, when we went to visit the school, it's utterly amazing what they're doing. And I felt that I could qualify maybe as judging it whether or not it was good, having been the same teacher at UCLA for a long time. He is amazing. And I think that anyone in the migrant ministry in these meetings who did not go up and visit that is missing a very great deal. And if we could get some propaganda on it, as it were, if he could write something for us by maybe some individuals in Southern California, it would be very much interesting. And also in getting him other, he gave us a list of some of the things he needed.
Right. To get there, you go, those of you who might want to stop by this afternoon, you go toward the 40 acres on Garces. And before you leave town, you're going to enter into the field area, there's a street named Asti, A-S-T-I. And you just take a left on Asti and go to the end of this block, not the end of the end of that street. All ages. He had been taking up to junior high, but they've had a long strike in the high school here. And so many of the high school kids have not been going to high school, so he's been taking on high school kids also. And in the last month, they've been running the school from 8 in the morning till 9:30 at night. And that's been...
Awesome.
Yeah, and on Saturday. And it's been kind of rough.
Does it turn
on all
the public schools?
Well, no, the basic program is after school and Saturdays. But during the strike, they were running a parallel program to the high school. Gordon may be able to answer questions about the strike.
Approximately how many have been attending?
You'll have to ask him.
Because
the last figure I heard was about 2 months ago. And at that time...
Well, was that 25 or was it 150?
Oh, no, no. It's more in the neighborhood of 30 to 40.
And how many couples does
he have? He's alone as a full-time person, but... He had a high school student from Ohio here for about 3 months, but now he has no one. He'll have 3 additional people for the summer, and he'd like to have another full-time person in the fall. Those of you who get a chance may want to write a note of thank you to Lloyd Sachin for being here yesterday and for the part he played in that meeting. He obviously did something nobody else could do. S-A-A-T-J-I-A-N.
In your letter.
Yeah, it's Palm Springs Methodist Church. Palm Springs, California.
Just in connection with that, I did write a note to Mark. I got a note back from what you really expect, and I think this meant something. The little note to me expressed appreciation, but I took the time to write. I'm glad I did it after I had it.
I think he's not a big number.
For some reason, I get data about stores that want to handle Union grapes. And like the co-op right near Union Seminary in New York, Morningside Heights Co-op, community co-op in New York City, sent me a letter saying that they intended to handle only Union grapes and they want to know what growers they could contact. And so I fed that information to Lloyd, so that he could feed it to whoever he wanted to. But I knew the Larson at least would get that kind of information. So there are ways, you know, in which we can help, and Larson has been evicted from the Desert Grape Growers League after he held those elections. They voted him out while he was sitting there, the meeting after he held the election and signed the contract. And so he is under a lot of pressure. I don't know whether he was ever, and Steinberg has always been viewed as kind of a maverick.
Oh.
And so it was easy to write him off, but Larson was much more central and therefore more threatening. It appears that way. I don't sense there's any avalanche coming in now of growers to sign up. Although there are some Delano growers who have asked for the contract. Just for us, just for the family. Two growers asked the attorney that represented them, and the Bruno Desposito and Bianco brothers, you know, just signed, and the attorney that represented them, he got a phone call from other Delano growers saying they wanted to see the contract, and said that they weren't just fiddling around, they were deadly serious, but that if they settled with Chavez, they didn't want anything to do with those damn bishops. And they're Roman Catholics, that's why. It's not that they're anti-religious, it's that they're embarrassed by the participation of their church.
It's certainly important who you get fractured with.
Sid, since I'm looking at you, do you want to explain your gorgeous peace emblem?
My heraldic device?
I don't know if people can see it or not.
This is the new unauthorized Nixon version of the peace medal. On a few of the face representing the Cambodian sunset, we have the dove of peace who has been shafted by Mr. Mitchell, I
guess. Those of you who want to get closer to Sid Smith can come over sometime and look at his medal. Okay. Two other quick things. There's an Episcopal church in Southern California, La Mesa, in La Mesa. Yeah. Anyway, they. Oh, that's the San Diego diocese. It's your diocese. Okay. At the last convention, they submitted a resolution against the National Council of Churches, really. And as part of the whereases, one of their whereases was, it said basically that the migrant ministry, along with other groups, was advocated the violent overthrow of our government. And so we engaged an attorney to write to them and inquire as to whether they really knew whether that was true or not, and whether or not they would like to retract it. And we got a one-sentence answer from the vicar. And then prior to our executive committee meeting, the attorney wrote again and said, gee, the migrant ministry's meeting this coming Monday, and they don't know whether to institute a lawsuit or not, and they just kind of like to know what the church is going to be doing. And so the attorney called during the middle of our executive committee meeting. He called and said that they were going to retract that statement, and that they would see to it that it was publicized in the same circles that had been publicized before, namely the Episcopal Review, which is the diocesan newspaper, which printed all the resolutions, including this one. So that hopefully is going to be taken care of, and they will find a retraction, but we haven't seen any evidence of that. Well, anyway, hopefully they will retract that, and there are people in the Episcopal Church who are following through on that. One other thing, we've talked before about the World Council of Churches. The World Council of Churches is working on support for the farm workers movement at two levels. One, they have a racism fund, and they just telegraphed Caesar about two or three weeks ago and said, you've indicated before that you could use resources in your fight against racism. How much do you want, and what do you want it for? And so he sent back an answer to them, and basically said he wanted $75,000 to hire varied organizers from varied racial groups to build farm worker power in each racial minority that's represented in the farm worker struggle. Because of the UFOS conviction that as people organize, they learn to deal with their own hostilities, and they also learn to deal with other groupings, including other farm worker groupings. And the purpose of the proposal was to fight racism within an emerging farm workers union. And then he also asked for $150,000 to support the families who come over to work in this country from Mexico and who go on strike, and then there's no money to keep them alive. And so we don't know what will happen to that money, but it's encouraging that the World Council Church has asked, you know, what he wanted the money for. Then they've also got, in June, in this month, they will be hopefully approving the California Mighty Ministry as a interchurch aid project. And all that means is that if they approve us, we'll be listed along with other groups as, you know, as appropriate for contributions from churches around the world. The Delta Ministry has been in that category and has actually gotten money out of it. And it all depends on what a priority they give it and whether their staff works on it for us, and we hope that they will.
I think in connection with the completion of Chris's report, Sid, if we could move to the blue, consideration of the blue financial sheet, we'll just do that before we take the coffee break.